Today's world is filling up with stateless refugees, and few of us can imagine what their lives are like, but Isaac Shapiro can. He's 87 years old now and an American citizen, but he spent the early years of his life in the Jewish immigrant community of Harbin in Manchuria, China. In the years leading up to the Second World War, he and his family lived in Japan as stateless foreigners. He spent the war years in Tokyo, only to be adopted by an American family and brought to Hawaii in his teens. It's a remarkable life story, as told in his memoir, Idoko, growing up a stateless foreigner in wartime Japan.
It was a life that was punctuated by change, unexpected events. I was born into a stateless Russian-Jewish family in Tokyo. Shortly after my birth, my parents separated, and my mother took my three brothers and myself back to Harbin, where her father lived. I was only 6 months old, so I wasn't fully aware of what was going on. So my first impressions of life were from living in Harbin, China. I didn't speak a word of Chinese, so...
Did you speak Russian. In the home?
Russian.
What years were those?
1931 to 1936. Mm-hmm. And it was a completely foreign environment, but I was comfortable because I had a loving family, my grandfather, my mother, his daughter, and we had a governess, and I had three brothers. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't at all lonely or...
So it was a comfortable life, but an essentially stateless one.
A stateless life in a totally foreign environment.
Yeah.
I didn't go to school those years in Harbin. I first went to school in Japan when we went back in 1936, when my parents got back together. And I started my school career at a British school, Anglican school in Yokohama. Didn't know a word of English. My mother came with me to school every day, and she was a teacher at the school, music teacher. And then one day I said, look, I don't need you anymore. I can navigate.
Was she acting as a translator in those early years?
Yes.
So is that how you learned English, essentially?
Yes, through in kindergarten.
in situations with
where I had to speak English or I couldn't communicate with anybody.
Yeah.
And, of course, I made friends and played around, and one thing led to another.
Had you acquired some Chinese?
No, not a word.
How about Japanese?
Oh, I learned Japanese very quickly because you couldn't live in Japan without speaking Japanese. It's just...
Now, what years are we talking about now?
1936 to 1946, when I emigrated and came to the United States, to Hawaii, actually.
Those are pretty pivotal years in the Empire of Japan.
They certainly were.
What did you sense about what was happening? What was in the air in Japan at that time?
In the late 30s, until Pearl Harbor, we knew about the war between China and Japan, and of course we learned what was going on in Europe in the late 30s, the expansion of Hitler Germany, and there were lots of refugees coming in whom we met. And in fact, at one point, my father, who spoke English quite well, was used by all the Jewish refugees who were transiting to America.
Russian Jewish?
Poland, Germany, Hungary, from everywhere.
Sure.
And they were looking to get visas to go to America, but they couldn't speak English, so he was a cellist and a professor of music and conductor. Mm-hmm. But he took time out to help these people. He would go to the consulate with them and translate for them.
Was music kind of a passport for your parents in a foreign land?
Very much so. Everywhere they went, they were received quite well because of their musical talent.
Because I was wondering if, absent that, what it would have been like for a Russian in Japan
very
in 1936.
Very rough. But they were received very well by the Japanese, who were importing Western music. The NHK, which is a well-known symphony, was started when my father was first there in the 1920s.
importing Western music even as they were going to war against
exactly. In fact, they imported Western opera in the 19th century, but they were importing all sorts of cultural elements. I mean, the legal system, you know, as a lawyer, I studied it.
Sure.
And the Japanese legal system was really given a fresh start in the late 19th century, first with the importation of the German Civil Code, and then in the early 20th century, they imported the British law.
How old were you when war broke out?
I was, December 8th, 1941. I was not quite 11 years old. So
you're a kid growing up in a country that is now at war with people who look kind of like you. What was that like?
Well, we had a variety of nationalities in Japan, and the Japanese government sorted us all out. There were enemy aliens, and there were German allies, and there were stateless people like ourselves who were in...
You really didn't fall into any category?
No, we didn't fall into any category. And because they were musicians and taught... Well, my father was a professor at the Japanese music school, so they more or less accommodated themselves and treated us respectfully.
But that's pretty unusual to have been able to have been in that position.
Because a lot of other foreigners weren't treated so well.
I would think so.
Yeah. And in fact, we knew people who were interned or imprisoned or expelled from Japan. Mm-hmm. There were all these ships, exchange ships with Americans exchanged for Japanese who came from America back to Japan.
Prisoner exchanges, yeah. Well, now the war ends. It's 1945. You're now a teenager.
I'm 14 years old.
In a conquered nation that is now ruled by an American, by a consul.
Exactly.
Douglas MacArthur. What was that like?
Well, it was a wonderful experience because first thing I did, I was at that point when the war ended, I was in Karuizawa, which was a kind of a refugee camp where my parents had sent me along with my brothers to get away from the bombings. And I then decided to go down to Yokohama and greet the troops. And I didn't tell my parents where I was going. I just took off, left home, if you will, and haven't been living at home since I was 14. Because after that, I became acquainted with this Marine colonel who brought me to America.
Is that what made you become an American citizen?
Yes. I was more or less adopted by this Marine colonel who was married but had no children, was stationed in Japan in charge of a Marine air group, and then he was transferred to Hawaii. And so the first place he brought me to was Hawaii because... I mean, he was from Arkansas, but he never lived there.
Well, by that time, you're in your mid-teens. Was it a question of his saying, do you want to come live with me, become an American?
Yes, and he came to my parents and said, I'd like to take this boy with me. And I had been his driver and interpreter, drove his Jeep around.
How did your parents feel about that?
Well, they had mixed feelings. In the first place, they didn't like to see their children leave at that age, but... On the other hand, they were not in very good straits, and it was hard to take care of a bunch of kids. So they more or less allowed us to do what we wanted. I had two of the brothers had gone back to China in 1944, so they weren't around. There were only three of us at the war's end. And my older brother went to work for the U.S. Army, and eventually he came to America, but much later, and on his own. I was the one that was mentored and adopted and brought back.
What made you want to write your book?
I'd been urged to write something, and I never had the time until I retired in 2001. And people said, well, now you have nothing else to do. Why don't you write your book? So I did. It took me a long time.
Isaac Ike Shapiro is the author of Edoko, Growing Up a Stateless Foreigner in Wartime Japan. He's 87 years old. He's an American citizen who spent the early years of his life in the Jewish immigrant community of Harbin in Manchuria, China. And in the years leading up to the Second World War, he and his family lived in Japan as stateless foreigners. He was eventually adopted by an American family and brought to Hawaii as a teenager.